Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tonight, we have WBO heavyweight champion Layman Brewster in studio.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. We don't have too many boxers on the show, although I'm a huge boxing fan. Layman is managed by Sam Simon, who's the co-creator of The Simpsons, and we have a friendly relationship, so he gave me a buzz.
Wow.
And told me what a great guy Layman was, and I saw Layman knock out Vladimir Klitschko about a month ago on HBO or Showtime or wherever the hell it was on. What was it on?
That was HBO.
HBO.
April 10th.
April 10th.
Yes.
Yes. And it was quite a dramatic knockout. And basically, the heavyweight ranks are all, it's up for grabs, basically, because Lewis retired. And now that Lewis retired, there's probably 10 or maybe even 14 guys that all have sort of a shot at being the, well, there's a few belts floating around, but everyone's looking for basically being the uncontested heavyweight
one champion.
One champion.
Call me the broom, because I come to sweep up all of them.
And Layman is definitely, I don't know if you're, I know you're top 10. I don't know if you're top 5 in the rankings now. What are you?
As a WBO champion, there that makes me number 4.
Number 4. And, you know, the thing, boxing has always been a sort of a curious sport to me because we can't figure out as a country whether we're in love with it or not. I mean, on one hand, you got Roy Jones Jr. He just fought last week. He fought over the weekend. He lost to Tarver. It was a stunning loss. This is a guy, by the way, Roy Jones Jr., who's basically 40-1, and his one loss is because he hit a guy after he knocked him out.
Wow.
So, I mean, the one blemish on his record is because he punished a guy too badly, essentially. It's like he, Roy Jones, you know, arguably best fighter that ever laced on a pair of gloves, really. I mean, here's a guy, and I'll start kissing Layman's ass in a second, but here's a guy who not only is essentially undefeated, hasn't lost any fights, hasn't really lost many rounds during those 40 fights. You know, forget about, you know, getting beat up, dropped to a knee and coming back Rocky style. He never even gets close to losing. He got knocked out in the second round. This should have been big news.
Just a wild.
Yeah, just wild, you know, he got caught and the guy who hit him knows what he's doing. But the point is this should be bigger news than it is. I had to dig through the sports page on Sunday to find it. On the other hand, Oscar De La Hoya makes $30 million a year for a day's work.
Yeah.
So what is it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
How can we not care and pay the guys $18, $20 million for a heavyweight bout or even for a middleweight bout?
Sure.
And right now, as what tends to happen in sports, and it's happened in the heavyweight ranks, as you go back and look at some of the glory days, and it's sort of then they get into these fluctuation times, it is in flux. And I think a guy like Layman is going to try to step up and grab. I mean, there couldn't be better timing for you, could
there
be?
You're right. You're absolutely right, because on one hand, you have Chris Bird, who he's a very good fighter, great fighter. But
no one wants to see
him fight. No one wants to see him fight, exactly.
Why is that?
Well, because he doesn't knock people out. He's not in what you would consider an exciting fighter. He'll peck you to death. You know, he's a skilled fighter, but he will by no means take you out, so to speak. And he'll sit back and, you know, he'll stay in your face and he'll play with you. But people want to see, you know, blood and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you got John Reese who, no matter who he fight, is going to be an ugly fight. And you don't want to see that either, you know?
No one wants to see him fight either.
That has...
I call him the quiet man.
Yeah, the quiet man.
He lets his fists not do his talking.
Wow. And you have Vitaly.
Boring. Vitaly, now there's a guy people want to see fight.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Vitaly is a tall gentleman, European style, but he's not American bred, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like the American bred fighter with, you know, every time I fight, you know, it's going to be a fight in terms of it's going to be at any point, you know, I'm going to knock the guy out, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to make the fight.
Well, you know, Layman was basically fighting Vitaly's brother. Now, Vitaly is a guy that just fought a couple weeks ago, the giant guy from Germany. And then he's got his basically his twin brother, or his brother. And there's the two big, giant, like Drago types from Rocky IV, Rocky III.
I must break you.
Yeah, just sort of dominating. And basic. So anyway, Layman has, I watched his study to fight closely. He's fighting Vladimir, who was basically had a loss. I think, I don't know what his record was, 40-1, 40-2, 40-1. I mean, you know, not a bad record. Layman's eating jabs the whole fight. He's and this guy's coming at, you know, this guy's in good shape, and he's he goes about 6'7", about 245, and less body fat than most skinny drug addicts, you know.
He's in tremendous shape.
He's in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
And he's throwing punches like a lightweight. He's throwing combinations. He's throwing jabs. Layman's just eating jabs, combinations, but smooth. You know, sliding, ducking. That's what the black guys have, or the white guys. White guys a little stiff. No different than the dance floor. Well, here's what I'm saying. Black guy, white guy both hit the dance floor. What happens? White guy looks funny and then comes out drenched with sweat 20 minutes later and keels over in heat. Black guy's still out there. Hasn't even broken a sweat yet. You see what I'm saying?
He's groovy.
Smooth. Fluid. Fluid. All of a sudden. Now, sixth round, is it?
Actually, it was the fourth round. It was, yes. No, yeah, it was fifth round. Fourth round it was the round he dropped me, and I got up off the canvas.
Finally caught him, yeah.
Yes, I went to work. But, you know, it was really, as you said, you know, just taking my time, putting pressure on this guy, hitting him with body shots, something that nobody had ever dared to even do with him. They always was trying to take him out by hitting him to the head. And so I hit him with body shots, and though I didn't throw as many punches as him, I threw effective shots. And so, you know, you got to look at it, man. You can't go to a marathon and run a sprint. And that's what he did. He tried to run a sprint for four rounds, and he had eight more rounds to go, and he drowned.
Yeah, and I think at the, end of the fifth, Layman catches him with a big hook. Big hook, and wobbles him, and then he goes down, and he gets up, and he's got a lot of heart. The Klitschko, and then collapses in a heap. Fight ends, and Layman takes the belt.
Wow!
Yeah,
man,
that's good times. All right, so here's another reason why you're here, Layman. Here's the deal: if and when you do become the household name, and you're getting millions of dollars, and you got those rims that keep spinning even after the car stops, those rims, which
silver,
I argue.
Silver.
Yeah,
people on the East Coast probably have not seen these. These most, they're in the Midwest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Midwest, man, where I'm from, Indiana. I saw so many of those
things. Oh, did you really?
Oh,
no,
man.
All right.
First off, these rims that keep spinning.
Yeah.
You know, they basically have the rim, and then they just have like a fan blade rim that just keeps going on
its own. Pretty much.
But here's the thing. I'm driving my car, and one of these guys comes rolling up next to me going 70 on the freeway, and the rim is out of cadence for the wheel.
Yeah.
So it forces you to look at it and wonder if you're having some kind of mushroom flashback or what's going on. I could have easily driven off the road staring at the guy's rim. The next thing is, and this is controversial, but LAPD, they're quick to draw the gun and quick to go after the black man with the gun. I say that if he pulls over a black man and he's stopped in that SUV and he sees the rims turning, he may just pull out and start firing. Do you see what I'm saying, Layman?
Well, you know, man, that's a good thing
to
think about.
That's an angle.
Yeah.
I'm saying cop pulls a guy over, he comes walking up the car, he looks down, he sees rims turning. He just starts firing.
Well, this is what I'm going to do. When I have my spinners on my truck.
Spinners.
And they pull me over.
That's right.
I'm going to immediately roll down the window, stick both hands out the door.
That's right.
And just wait for the cop to come.
No, just say, licensed.
Yeah.
They're registered. These are registered.
That's, Drew and I actually figured out that we will actually, even if the officer asks us to get out of the car, we will.
Keep our hands on the wheel.
We'll pull the steering wheel off and climb out of the window.
No, leave our hands on the wheel and put our ass out the window.
Stick our ass out and climb out of the car still with our body inside of the car.
Hands on the wheel.
You never let go of that wheel in L.A. You get pulled
over.
That's
pretty smart, man.
Yeah.
I got to try that.
Yeah.
Because I get pulled over all the time.
Do
you? Oh, yeah. I'm in a valley, too?
Oh, come on.
You know, black man.
Yeah.
Nice truck. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Drug dealer.
I'll tell you, I don't claim to know what it's like to walk a mile in the black man's shoe, but I can tell you this. I don't get pulled over anymore. As a matter of fact, if I do, it's like, hey, man, show. and then we have a drag race, which I've done before. But when I used to drive crappy cars, I would get pulled over a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just realized that part of it is what kind of ride you're in. Now, if you're in a nice ride, then there's the other thing. There's what's that black guy doing in that expensive ride? He must have stolen it. For me, it's what's that white guy doing in that pile of crap? We better pull him over.
Must be a drug dealer.
Something happened.
They try to be on a down low, you know?
Yeah, crappy car. I'd say a fair amount of what's going to get you pulled over is what you're driving.
Oh, yeah. They profile the car.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah. A lot of it. Yeah, don't drive piles of S and stay away from the limousine tint. All right, let's talk to... Drew, didn't I just punch that? Sammy?
Hello?
You're 23?
Yeah, hi, guys.
What's up? What's happening?
Hi.
Wow, I'm so excited.
That? Yeah.
I just had a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, is it okay to be friends with your exes if you're in a current relationship?
Well, women are much more evolved about this kind of thing. Women
like to
be friends.
I have a lot of boyfriends that get extremely jealous.
And guys cannot handle this. And
right.
I think the basic, first of all, guys can't do this very well.
Right.
And if they know if the other guy's doing
it... Which part can't we do?
Guys can't be friends with ex-girlfriends very well. And if the guy is being a good friend to an ex-girlfriend, the current boyfriend assumes he's up to something.
Right.
Yeah.
And the barrier to sex has been sort of broken down long ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The distance to the intercourse ain't quite so far anymore.
It's like a shoulder that's been dislocated three or four times.
It could pop out
anytime.
Pretty easily.
Easily pop out.
Or and pop that, in. Whatever the case may be.
The point is, once you've had, especially when someone's been a boyfriend or girlfriend, you've nailed them 700 or 800 times. what's 701? You know what I mean?
And
everyone
and
knows.
There's
that.
There is that. So the barrier, the boundaries are sort of weak.
Right.
And then the other guy, the current boyfriend, is going to think, what's he up to? Why does he want to be a boyfriend? Friend with ex, what's he up to?
Yeah. But here's the thing: it puts a certain kind of stress on the relationship that most relationships don't need or can't handle.
There's nothing wrong with it.
That the current boyfriend is insecure, or am I doing something wrong?
No, you're not doing anything wrong. He's not insecure. You're more evolved. What you're doing is fine. But most young males can't handle this.
And I would take a look at your motives, because when a woman insists on being friends with an ex, even though it bothers her man, you may be looking
to stir things up.
To stir things up and, you know, rattle his cage. All right.
Put yourself in his shoes.
That's right.
I do, and I understand the point, and I could see the jealousy factor, but I have been very good friends with this particular male for a good 10 years now.
Oh.
Was your boyfriend you were 11?
No. We've been good friends for a long time.
You were friends before you became boyfriend.
Exactly. And we decided that we were not sexually compatible and that we were just better off as friends.
That's nice.
What happened?
Who decided that? Yeah.
It just didn't mesh well.
That's not a guy initiating that conversation.
Yeah, that's you. That's you saying that.
What was the problem, Sammy?
I just wasn't really feeling it. It wasn't very exciting, and we were just better off as friends. Really.
Right, I'll translate. He was into her from
the beginning,
from the word go.
Yeah, he begged her into something.
He'd been working on her for a number of years.
Yeah, yeah.
She got jilted by some boyfriend. He fed her a few wine coolers.
Yes.
He wanted it enough for the both of them, but it never really was there.
That's right. And now he's still knocking at the door, and the current boyfriend knows it.
Case solved.
I don't want to talk. It's just luck, everybody.
There's nothing wrong with it, but if you scratch under the surface, you find motivations that could be.
You got to make concessions when you're in a relationship. Yeah. Layman, you're married?
Yes.
You got to do a fair amount of ass kissing and tongue biting.
All the time.
Just don't speak. You know, there's a lot of times you just want to go,
back to your bachelor party thing again.
Yeah, I almost started. Don't start giving theories about bachelor parties and what should go on and what's sacred and don't. You'll just start getting in trouble. Keep your mouth shut.
Pretty much.
That's right. And everyone needs to do that, including women on occasion. Eric?
Yes.
You're 25?
I am.
What's up?
Well, I've worked Well, I've only had one sexual partner as my girlfriend that we broke up a year ago. We were together for a year. So I first started having sexual intercourse at about 23, 24. Mm-hmm. And I've been an athlete all my life. I've been to hot tubs and saunas and things along these lines for a very long time. And I have a problem with sustaining an erection.
What do the hot tubs have to do with that?
Well, you gotta get it in the inlet.
I don't know. I thought that it might, you know, hot water and being, I've heard that a long time. You know, your testes and being
above the temperature.
You think your sack's like some sort of boiler pouch?
Just rice, boiled it
like
rice.
like the noodles when you get the ramen and the beef bowl. Please,
Eric, why did you wait so long to have sex? 23.
Partly religious, partly.
Okay. Are you kind of freaked out about sex? Are you nervous about it?
Not really.
No.
Hmm.
Did you take steroids at any time?
No.
No?
No.
Layman, you ever been on the juice?
No, man. Not sure. That kind of juice. Sure. Woman juice.
And we. Huh.
Well, hold on a second. All right, there's a reason why he waited. Well, you wait till 23, he's all up in his head.
Yeah, he said he's religious, they're relating, you know, but he's not freaked out. He said he's not nervous about it.
Yeah, but tell that
how,
to his
how,
hunker.
How long
psychological,
do you,
dog.
You know. What do you mean you have trouble sustaining an erection? You mean as soon as intercourse starts, you lose it?
No, I can get it and I can finish it, but it's too quick.
Too fast to finish. Well, you waited 23 years. What do you think?
Yeah. You got a lot of living to do.
Yeah, you ever heard, kind of work this out.
Yeah.
You ever heard practice make perfect?
Especially Eric, just before you go out.
Eric, you need one woman. Do you have a woman?
Not anymore. We broke up about a couple of months ago.
All right. I'm going to give you this speech, which I give about once a month to the lads, which is you got to find that one person you work it out with. That's that person. Now, women, not so much. Men, they do. If you just bounce from person to person to person, you have a succession of two-week relationships, you're never really going to work it out. You need that first person you take the shower together with, first person you walk around naked with, first person you hump in the kitchen. You know, you start doing it in other rooms. You know, that person becomes like a guinea pig.
I beg your pardon.
You experiment on them sexually. They become, here's what happens. When you're like, you know, 15, 16 years old, you just want somebody to hold still. Please have sex with me. Would you please? I don't care where we do it. Just let me have sex with you. And then somewhere around 18 or 19, you get into that person. That's the person you actually have sex with at her parents' house while her dad's upstairs. You know that, Drew, you know what I'm talking about. As a man of great passion, you know what I mean? That weird, do it in weird places, maybe a little anal sprinkled in. Maybe a little.
You're saying this is when you check the list off.
You take the shower with. You walk around naked with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Eric needs that, or he's never going to really find his rhythm. Most people find that but 18, 19 years old. He's 25. He hasn't found that.
Yeah.
That's
In other words, he's trying to tell you get a checklist.
Right.
Not just the checklist, but also work out your rhythms and things and learn how to control things and learn how to master yourself.
And don't turn it into a scavenger hunt. Go to Costco, get everything under one roof. Don't be bouncing all over the city.
Yeah.
Go to one place, get all your shopping done. That's one woman. And it's got to be at least 8-10 months long, that relationship. All right. Let's see. Let's talk to Holly, who's 22. Yes. Holly?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, I quit drinking. I've been drinking for about 2 years now, like, every day straight. Mm-hmm. And I've been, you know, with my fiance, I've been really sexually active. And now that I quit drinking, I'm not.
You're not sexually. How long have you been off alcohol?
Actually, only 2 weeks.
Well, you may still be having withdrawal. I mean, you get sick after you stop alcohol. So give yourself a little time. Are you using anything else? Are you smoking pot or doing speed?
No, I don't. No.
Are you taking any medication?
Nope.
Are you in 12-step?
Nope.
How much boozing were you doing before you quit?
About a half a bottle of 90-proof peppermint schnapps.
Well, yeah, what happens if you don't get involved in some sort of program?
Hold on. That is albino white trash there.
Oh, yeah.
Peppermint schnapps. That
half,
is,
half a quart, you say? Half a
bottle. Half a what, fifth?
I don't know. The big bottle.
Big bottle.
Half gallon?
Peppermint.
The jug.
I
peppermint
so.
Schnapps, yeah.
Had the, blowing after.
Had the three X's on it. Yeah, and then she would play it with the band after that. Pull a cork with her teeth, spit it at her goat, which is tied up to the sofa. Tighten up that rope belt.
Yeah. No, I just don't understand why I'm not, like, so much sexually active. I mean,
Holly, stop. Relax. Here's the deal. It takes about 1 week to withdraw from alcohol. You were having withdrawal. No doubt you didn't feel good during that week. It can last a couple weeks beyond that you can have persistent symptomatology. God knows your pulse is up. Your blood pressure will be up. People get very depressed and very anxious. Their sleep is disturbed. And if, in fact, you don't replace the alcohol with something.
I've done it with coffee and caffeine.
Why don't you try exercise?
Totally different phenomenon, i.e.
and
a 12-step.
And exercise, because I have to hitchhike back and forth to work. Oh. And I live in the mountains, so it's a pretty long walk.
You live, and when she says live in the mountain, she means in the mountain. She lives in a cave that's probably up to Panga Canyon or something. Like, I'm picturing her living
she's
in
the Rockies.
Oh, she's calling from Denver. Yeah. Oh. I'm picturing her living inside the mountain.
Like grizzly bears or something like
that. Yeah, coming out, you know, checking her traps, cooking rabbit, right. Wearing skins.
Here's the deal.
If you don't replace it with something, Holly, you will start to get very depressed and very anxious. I do suggest
Well,
let me ask you a question about hitchhiking to work, by the way.
What kind of work?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
What kind of work do you do?
I'm actually a dog groomer.
Hmm. Lesbian?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you a lesbian?
No, I've had my bisexual experiences,
sure,
and I'm actually not allowed to have them anymore.
Not allowed.
Okay, because you can't get your grooming license unless you've gone down at least 8 checks. It's the same. I don't know what it is about people working with pets and groomings and dogs and stuff. All crazy lesbos.
No, I'm not.
And Holly, why can't your fiancé give you a ride to work?
Because he works nights. By the time I have to leave, he's not home.
Okay. And you can't, break down and get a moped or something for $300?
Bike?
A bike? Get that
exercise
because
it's a pretty far drive from Conifer to Floyd Hill and I-70.
Well,
I used to make
the Floyd Hill to Connery run on 70 almost 5 times a week, and I could do it in about 18 minutes.
Here's the deal.
That was on a Vespa, of course,
Holly,
that was back in the 70s.
Holly's a victim. She's looking to get victimized again.
No, I'm not a victim.
Put your thumb out and see what happens.
And by the way, here's the thing about hitchhiking. You may show up at work 2 hours early. You may be 2 hours late. You may be found in a drainage ditch.
That's right.
I mean, how do you keep a job where you're hitchhiking where you never know if someone's going to even pick you up or not?
Because my boss doesn't care when I get to work.
Oh, okay. She's a lesbian?
No, she's not.
She's bisexual.
She's actually a very, very nice, pretty lady that's a single mother.
Okay. Let me ask her about that. All right, so Holly, you're off the booze. That's good. You're doing the exercise. That's good. But how about the 12? How's she going to get to the 12-step
program?
They'll
pick her up. They'll pick her up.
They'll pick
you
up.
Just call AA. They'll come get you.
How about going to AA?
I'm going to put on Anabuse here soon.
Yeah. Anabuse, if you want to drink, Holly, you're just not going to take your Anabuse. So that's ridiculous.
Well, no. I have to go to an alcohol evaluation place to take my Anabuse.
Every day?
Yeah. Well, yeah. 3 times a week.
Yeah, and if you don't want to drink, you won't go. If you want to drink, you just won't go. And that's
all right.
It's Anabuse.
Get involved with
Anabuse
the program.
Is not the treatment. Anabuse is a level of structure that helps you contain impulses, but it doesn't do anything for your disease.
Let me tell you the thing about being poor. You burn so many calories just being poor. you know what I mean? Just the programs, the waiting in line. I grew up this way, going to free clinics and sitting there for 5 hours for nothing, you know. Always transportation, always a big thing. Who's going to give you a ride? Who's going to pick you up? You can never do anything on your schedule. It's always about, well, you can come with me, but you're going to have to wait while I go do this. Everyone, just focus a little on making the amount of time that you spend being poor, the amount of time it takes you to go to the pick apart, climb under the Chevy, pull the alternator, drag it back to your crappy apartment and hook it up. That amount of time you could have had a mechanic do it and paid him and focused your energy on making money. Everyone, focus on making money, not on the trappings of being poor. See what I'm saying?
The hassles of being poor.
Yeah,
that's just the trap.
You end up making $4 an hour when you're poor, but all the time it takes you waiting and hitchhiking and doing and waiting in line and everything, going down and paying your phone bill in person. You know what I mean?
Mm.
You could be working. Work on making the money, not saving it. Aha. That's what I want. Layman.
Yes, sir.
You got to work on making it, not saving it.
Yes, sir.
You start acting like a poor person, you stop making money. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. You lose
get
the
a
hunger.
Hand in. Now break it down.
All right.
You got to have the eye of the tiger, buddy.
I'm hungry.
You go in that ring, and there's no man on the planet that can beat you. You understand?
Never.
All right, now punch Drew as hard as you can right in his face.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Layman Brewster's here, WBO heavyweight champion of the world. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tomorrow night, Newfound Glory in the house. Layman Brewster here tonight, WBO heavyweight champion of the world.
The world.
I'm a big boxing fan, as a lot of people know. We never have any boxers on the show. I think maybe De La Hoya's been on
long
before.
Long time ago.
Yeah, we've had like
you need us. We always have a lot to say because, you know, you got to understand we as athletes go the longest duration without sex than any other athlete known to man.
Is that still happening? I thought that was a wives' tale. I didn't know you actually did that.
Well, you know, there are some who don't follow that tradition,
mm-hmm.
but
your
I
wife
particularly...
does.
This is the story in the Chi tradition?
I try to follow that tradition to the best of my
really?
Ability.
Store in that Chi.
You know?
There's got to be an optimal Chi storage point,
yeah.
after which it starts leaking out of you.
I get depressed after about 40 hours.
I went 3 months one time without
that's
without
not really. That's not good.
And a guy hit me and
squirted.
I
some.
Got hard, and I really liked it. You know what I mean? It's like I really wanted to fight at that point. You know,
I've
it's like
that.
A dog.
Wow, I like that.
This guy could kill me. And okay,
yeah. Think what he's going to do with your corpse.
That's
after
what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about.
He's going to kill you, and then he's going to blow off a little steam. You know what I'm saying? And I couldn't stop him. I'd just be standing there. I mean, I wouldn't have to take pictures. Well, I probably would do that with the camera phone now, yeah. You know, because I'm sure the kids want to remember their dad that way. All right, so who are you looking for in the future?
Man, I'm looking for anybody who's willing to get in the ring with me.
What are people talking about? I mean, something over the summer. Don King's your promoter,
yes.
right?
Yes, he is.
I don't know where... I know all the heavyweights. I don't know what's happened to, like, a David Tua. I'm not sure what
manager
he's up
problems.
To. Manager problems.
But,
There's a guy that everyone's happy is locked up named Ike Abeabuchi.
Oh, yeah, great fighter.
Who was the scariest guy around who...
great fighter.
Ended up being such a great fighter, he used to warm up on his old lady or something.
Wow.
And got thrown in the joint, and I don't know what the story is, but this is basically, Drew, this is like taking one of the scarier guys and throwing him in the joint and not having to deal with him, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Not that Layman couldn't have handled the guy, no question. But still, you know.
He was a tough guy. He'd have been a great fight for Layman Brewster. But the fight that I'm looking for,
yeah.
You know, first and foremost, is unifying with the WBC title holder, which is Vitali Klitschko.
Yeah.
I would love to fight him.
Now you beat his brother Vladimir, and the brothers are very close. The brothers show up and work the corner of each other's fights, and they're very. As a matter of fact, when Corey Sanders beat Vladimir, Vitali got into the ring and started threatening him and saying, "You know, I want you." And they got it on a week or so ago, and Vitali went, I can't think they've named one Stu,
yeah,
and the other Vitali, it's like Vladimir Vitali. I can't remember which goddamn Ruski I'm spitting out. Plus, they were like Russian, and they moved to Germany. They're a mess. Someone's got to straighten those guys out.
Now they live in Beverly Hills.
Well, yeah. And they're crazy. First off, have you seen these guys?
They could show up here tonight.
Drew, have you seen?
No.
I hope so.
How could you miss the Klitschko brothers?
Oh, you
Drew,
can't
there's
miss
a cutout of one of them in the hallway.
Can I go look?
Go get one.
Where?
Go down.
Where?
You know where the video machines are? your beloved video machines?
Yes, yes.
Go all the way down
he's
there.
He's the guy that would cut out. Yes, I've seen him.
Yeah, he's the 6'8" yeah. guy in the boxing trunks, yeah. the big white guy with the... Yeah. You've seen that?
Yeah, he looks like old-time boxer. Sort
That's
of
him.
Yeah.
Go get that thing. I want to see what Layman would do to it. Because I may sock that thing myself. Because that's good warm-up.
We already did something to him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, well, we did something to the poster board.
Oh, you did something to the poster?
Yeah, you know, just a little something. So if he come, we'll just, you know, you'll see.
Well, you got his brother, and he's got to be looking for revenge, just like he's looking for revenge of the only other guy to beat his brother,
yeah.
which was Corey Sanders. So it makes sense that Layman Brewster and Vitaly Klitschko get in the ring.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, man, especially the fact that he lives in Beverly Hills. You know how long I've been trying to move in Beverly Hills? He moved here from
Germany.
Well, let
me see. I'll do the math. How old are you?
I'm 30.
30?
Yes.
I would say 30 years you've been
yes.
wanting to get to Beverly Hills.
I've been shooting the ground trying to find oil.
But let me say this, playing devil's advocate here. He's a huge man.
Yes.
So is his brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's about a half inch or an inch taller than his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to have a little more heart and a little more punch. Than his brother.
You ever seen a tree fall in a forest
yeah.
by a little bitty guy?
Yeah. Uh-oh. There's drawing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I'm not an umpire. I just call it like I see it.
I'm a big queer who's scared of Layman Brewster is what it says. Oh, look at he drew him up. Uh-oh. Those are fighting words.
Oh, yeah. He should definitely want to fight me.
Yeah.
Knee pads.
Yeah.
Put knee pads on him.
Oh, put knee pads on him, too. Oh. Oh. What a disgrace that is.
I think time is over.
All right. Well, listen, Vitaly, if you're driving around in your Bentley and you're in the Beverly Hills area and you want to swing by and, you know, have a little, you know what call it? The brawl in the hall. Yeah. Layman Brewster and Vitaly Klitschko getting it on right here at the,
yeah, man.
The K-Rock Hall. And Dr. Drew will be soiling himself, cowering in the corner. And all right, let's get back to the phones and speak to Stacy.
Oh, Lamont drew the lips and the eyelashes.
Yeah, No,
she really soiled.
Beautiful,
this guy.
Just beautiful. I tell you,
he made
just
him
beautiful.
He made him into a woman. There's no doubt about it.
Oh boy,
Stacy,
kind of cute.
Yeah,
18.
Yes.
What's up?
My boyfriend broke up with me 4 weeks ago, but we've still been sleeping together, and. I still have feelings for him, but seems like it's just...
Did he initiate the breakup?
Yeah.
Okay, it is just about sex for him. Guys, he'll keep having sex with you until you're in the grave.
Well, maybe a number of weeks after you've been in the
grave. Oh, absolutely. The guys will do that. That does not mean there's any feeling attached to it. I know it's hard for you to understand, but that's...
No, I mean, women are like... Women, here's the problem with everybody and everything. Everyone looks at things through their eyes.
Yes, how could he feel that way? If I were doing this, I wouldn't.
A woman thinks, if I broke up with a guy, I would never want to have sex with him unless I had feelings for him.
Right. Or if he had such strong feelings for me and he's still having sex, he must have something there. No.
Right.
Could be absolutely nothing. Could be even less than nothing now.
Yeah. I always think about, like, in the animal kingdom, you know, when the bear... mauls you to death or the shark eats you, they're not even mad at you.
No.
They're just sort of mistaken. Then you might be thinking as you're being eaten, how could he do this to me? I'm not even trying. I didn't even... They're like, it doesn't matter. He's thinking about something else. He thinks differently than you.
Right.
That's what it is.
That's right. He doesn't think.
He doesn't think.
That's the point.
Right. He the bear mauls, the boyfriend humps.
That's different planets, man.
Humping machine.
Just
that's
totally
right.
Different planets.
That's right. And trying to understand us by sort of taking your mindset and inscribing it or grafting it onto us is never going to work. And vice versa, by the way. Yes, Drew?
I was listening to some primatologist talk today.
Primatologist?
Right? Some studies, you know, an anthropologist that studies...
Where were you listening to a primatologist?
Well, all kinds of crazy lectures and stuff.
Stop doing that.
But I was going insane.
Start watching TV so you know what I'm talking about.
I was going insane listening to them once again.
Then know the Klitschko brothers because you're too busy hanging out with primatologists.
This person was waxing on about how dare we have these sort of ideas about the male primate being bigger physically and aggressive and the female...
Really?
It's like we created the animal kingdom,
right?
Social norms,
yeah,
through our biases. Like
right?
What?
Right? Yeah, we gave the guys the testosterone and the big muscle somehow. because of social mores.
They're not different, though. They're not different. That doesn't mean they're different. This is a different body.
Drew, I want to talk. This guy's got something wrong with his penis.
That's why I put that up there.
Yeah, but do we want to talk to him? When's William Gosher? Still having... Oh, we talked to him. Mom had breast and ovarian cancer. Oh, no. Having sex since 13. All right. Let's talk to the guy with the cracked penis.
Thank you.
Mark?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yep.
You have a little chafing on your penis?
On the head.
Mm-hmm.
How long you had that for?
Too long. As long as I can remember, probably for the last 2 or 3 years, it comes and goes.
Really?
How long does it last?
Ironic with the copious amounts of Lubriderm he's been spreading on his shaft for the last 4 years.
Very much to the point. It could be an allergic type reaction.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you're using or hitting it with, whatever.
What are you doing?
No, the thing is that, like, I'll go an extended period of time. Well, extended period of time as in, like, a week or so without masturbating, and it'll still come back.
Yeah.
Like, I've really cut back, and I've tried to tend to it by using, like, various creams and or
like what
Vaseline.
Creams? What creams?
God, I haven't used one in a while, actually, but before...
I don't buy it.
I do.
No, it's legit. It's 100% legit.
All right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. If you'd said 150%, I wouldn't have believed you. But
he
went to 100%.
He didn't go. Why not? It's like, hey, who?
Okay. I haven't used cream on in a while. But typically now it's been Vaseline for the past probably.
Yeah, that won't do it.
That's not gonna do. How about a little vitamin E, Drew?
How about a dermatologist? You have a skin disorder. This is probably an allergic reaction. You can get psoriasis of the penis. You can get eczema of the penis.
Yeah.
You can get all kinds of lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Allergic dermatitis, contact dermatitis.
Yes.
And this is probably a contact dermatitis, and it needs some cortisone cream to clear up.
Okay, so like I feel like the underside of the head isn't like the other side that rubs against my underwear. Like the underside is fine, and it looks like it did 10 years ago.
Okay, so that's all the more evidence of a contact dermatitis. It looks as young as it did 10 years ago. Adam, did you catch that?
Wow,
it's nice.
Where's that harp music?
Allergic
I remember,
to cotton.
I remember
yeah,
when I peed
elastic or something.
How
something
could you be allergic to cotton?
Well, it wouldn't be the cotton. It'd be the elastic. Or something.
I remember when my penis was in its 20s. So full of life. The hopes, the dreams. Now it's a beaten, forgotten man.
Beaten, certainly.
Well, the constant physical abuse it's taken over the years. It's really taken its toll. Like a fighter that didn't know when to hang it up.
now it's tremulous.
That would be a vendor.
Punch
confused.
Drunk. Right. Disoriented.
A mess. I've seen it.
A mess.
Yeah.
Can barely string together a sentence. Uh-huh. Yeah. Pulls to one side. Slurred speech. Yeah, it's a disaster. Yeah, what about Holyfield? Is that it for him?
No, he wants to fight again, man. And it's just sad because this man made so much money and he was such an inspiration to others. But I guess when you have that many kids, you have to keep fighting.
Yeah.
How many kids?
Evander is a man of Jesus. By the way, who has maybe 9 kids with 14 different women.
Ah.
But he's an exquisite man of Jesus. He's a man of Jesus whose really only hobbies are beating people up and having kids.
Mm. Whoa.
But you wouldn't think a man of Jesus would be into pounding guys in the head and banging the bejesus, ironically, out of multiple women. But those seems to be his two great hobbies.
Well, when God gives you a gift, you got to understand.
That's true.
See?
You know?
That's true.
It's like, as sad as it is, you know, you got people out there who are, you know, hitmen, but it isn't like they can do anything better. So that's what they're gifted at.
Well, Holyfield, one of my favorite all-time fighters and an incredible champion. And somebody, by the way, Drew, you guys, you know, you're constantly, nerds are constantly trying to figure out what makes people tick. Finding out how these guys operate and what goes on. I mean, what goes on in the heart and the mind of a guy like Holyfield, who's people thought he was washed up 10 years ago, and he's climbing into the ring and teaching Tyson a lesson.
He washed up now, dog.
Well, now, yeah. Now, and just the idea of just that walk to the ring. I mean,
how old is he? How old was he when he was doing that?
There's no emotion there.
He's probably like 40, 41, 42 now. Yeah. I mean, he's, or maybe 40, 41, somewhere in that range. But even for layman or for anybody, the idea of being a fighter the night before, you know, imagine the night before one of these fights. Can you go to bed? Can you eat? Can you sleep? You know, can you relax? And the walk to the ring, you know what I mean? I mean, this needs to be studied.
Yeah, you know something, I'm glad you asked that because I can tell you from my own personal experience, when you've done 100% everything you can do to get ready for that particular fight, within that night you will sleep and you will walk to the ring and be confident and very focused. But if you have 99.9 positivity, it's that one little, that tenth, you're just going to... You know, because I've sat up at nights looking at the ceiling and just going over the fight in my mind.
Yeah.
But when I know I've done everything right, like, I can tell you, like, this last fight with Klitschko, though this was the big fight for me, I slept better this fight and was more comfortable in the locker room for this fight than probably all my fights put together.
These guys are pros. You know what I mean?
No, I know, but... yeah, all right. We've got to take a break. Drew, once in a while, Drew's got a point. When he's right, he's right. I know, but the idea of walking into that ring with those people around and the hype and
their
the
illusions.
Weight and the whole thing, you know, idea that you're getting to the venue 3-4 hours
that'd be the
early.
Best part.
They don't exist. That.
Well, that's why
the
you
crowd
need to
does
study.
Not exist.
You need to study this. That's why this
they don't exist.
Saying they're pros. Please, Drew, do your work.
It's like if you're thinking about all the millions of.
All right. We got to take a break. Just study Layman during the break, would you? Layman Brewster here, WBO, heavyweight champ of the world. What's that?
Latex gloves.
Oh, yeah, use a glove. Lube up and study. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Newfound Glory in here tomorrow night. And Layman Brewster, WBO, heavyweight champ of the world, in here tonight. Looking for Vitaly, or then Vitaly. Not only do you have to deal with the Klitschko brothers, you have to deal with the Vladimir versus the Vitaly. But
thank
now
God,
the Vitaly can be Vitaly sometimes, too.
Thank God Howard Cosell's not around anymore.
Oh.
Can you imagine how you would butcher these names?
Yeah, well, he liked to have a little nip before he went on the air.
Yeah, I guess he did. Well, not before.
While he was on the air. I miss the days when the sportscasters would smoke half pack of cigarettes and go through a fifth of scotch during whatever the event was they're announcing. Like, hey, they looked at themselves as, I'm watching a fight. I should be able to enjoy a cigarette and have a belt.
Well, I'm watching it with you guys.
And the trainers, man, if you go back to even like the 80s, man, the trainers would be in the gyms with cigars, you know, until they found out that was hurting the fighters.
Wow. Yeah. Forget about the trainers. The fighters used to smoke.
Yes. And what's his name? He still does. What's the guy to be Vernon Forrest?
Oh, I'm gonna come up with
from Nicaragua.
Yeah. Now I'm not sure if he really smokes.
You know, he really smokes.
Guys. The reality is that the nicotine, the stimulant in there, increases muscle tone and speed.
Mayorga. Mayorga.
It takes enough years to screw with your lungs.
Yeah, I mean,
here's
the thing.
People
go like, he's a smoker. Yeah, she's 27.
Right.
You know what I mean? This stuff catches up to you when you're in your 50s.
If you try Optima Athlete, it'll catch up to you in 5 or 6 years. But during those 5 or 6 years, you may get a drug effect from it, you know, that you benefit from.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Sort of.
You should light up. Light up.
Tommy Hearns was, he would be drinking coffee before he went
coffee's
into the ring.
Thing. I was thinking that coffee's another thing that will do that. It increases muscle tone and speed of contraction.
Yeah, it definitely keeps you on your P's and Q's because one of the worst things you can do is go into a fight and get comfortable. You know, you'd be too relaxed, you know.
But see, if I drink coffee, I'd have to take a leak around the third round.
Yeah, how do they not do that anyway? All that water going
I think there's a lot of water coming out, too. There's not that much going in.
Oh, the sweat.
Yeah, I mean, you're sweating. No, yeah. Please, Drew.
They don't pee themselves.
No.
But it increases your heartbeat, too, that coffee, you know?
Yeah, you don't.
And that could wear you down in later rounds,
Drew.
Sylvia? You're 16?
Yeah. Oh,
what's up?
40 seconds left. We're not going to handle this.
Quiet down.
Have an orgasm.
Can't have an orgasm.
Mm-mm.
Get another man.
No.
She's 16. Most 16-year-olds can't. Are you expecting
not
to have
supposed
one?
To.
Well, are you expecting to have one during intercourse?
Yeah.
That's probably never going to happen.
No.
Never.
Never. It may, but probably not. And if it is, most women don't have orgasmic intercourse.
She's 16.
Learn some every day.
Yeah, is that true, Drew?
Most.
I had no idea.
Interesting.
Really? Never
a slight majority don't have orgasm ever during intercourse.
They do tell. I'll tell you. You think you've seen them all, huh?
Well, is there any other way?
All kinds.
Besides?
Or oral sex.
Oral sex. Be the more... The more consistent
reliable,
route.
Yeah,
more reliable,
reliable
route. Safer route.
I have to
route.
Ask my friend Mel that.
Yeah. Sylvia?
Yeah?
All right, you okay? You're calling from Bakersfield, so I'm worried. No?
I guess, yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Slow it down.
All you 16-year-olds, slow down. If you're from Bakersfield, really.
5 more years.
No, better yet, freeze yourself if you're from Bakersfield. Yeah. Hopefully you'll thaw yourself out and it'll be some utopia.
Yeah.
20 years from now.
2 million.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Layman Brewster here tonight. WBO heavyweight champion of the world. Looking for a little Vitaly Klitschko action maybe sometime over the summer.
Yeah.
It's got to be a good gig, the boxing. You know, really, as a heavyweight, once you've established yourself, you're probably fighting once a year, once every 8 or 10 months, something like that, right?
Nah, man, not a true fighter. You know what I'm saying? A true fighter, man, we fight. You know, you ain't gonna see us sitting out there because are the guys who get. They're just in it for the paychecks. The guys who fight once a year, you know.
Well, you want, but that's the whole problem. Is even if you want to fight, you got to set things up. You gotta get the right matchup, and you know there's a lot at stake too, especially if you got a big money fight that's looming in the not too distant future. You don't want to get hooked up with a dangerous guy that could catch you on a bad night and screw up the money that's coming around the corner. You just never know. There's people that don't. Yeah, there's people that don't want to mess with you too. It's tough to make fights, and it's really, there's not much, you know, it's not like, you know, the playoff system, and am I boring you, Drew? I see you yawning. Am I boring you? Tell me if I'm boring you. It's not like the playoff system. There's nobody has to fight anybody, really. Then you get Don King in the mix, and Bob Arums, and
only in America, that's, baby.
All bets are off.
Is that true?
What's that?
Boxing is international.
That's Don King.
Yeah, most definitely. He's the greatest promoter of all time. He's had the highest.
That's Don King saying only in America.
Don King has paid the highest price. He's paid
King.
Fighters more money than all the promoters probably put together.
That's right. He's made everyone a
and
millionaire.
And he's made more money.
Including himself. That's right. Don King.
Only in
America,
baby.
Baby.
Only
that's
in America.
Right. That's
waving
right.
his flags.
Hey, waving that flag around.
I forgot to tell you, I ran into Don King when I was in New York in the Carnegie Deli.
Mm-hmm.
Such a quiet guy when he's eating the meal. Didn't say a word.
First off.
And then the camera comes on and he explodes to life.
Well, that's Don, man.
Adam's that way, too. Have you noticed that? He explodes every time the mic goes on.
Well, do you want the guy to talk and eat a corned beef at the same time?
It's like the racehorse. He won't sprint until the gates open.
That's right.
It was like 4 a.m. There was nobody in there except for him and his crew, and he didn't say a word to his crew. And then when the lady stood up, turned on the camera, it was like, bam.
Well,
only
he's
in America.
Showman. Only in America and possibly Canada could this kind of success story happen, Drew. All right, Drew, you ready?
I'm just thinking about how lame I truly am.
Only
in America?
Only
what? Really?
I thought the Klitschko brothers were from another part of the world.
I know. Did you say only?
No, here's the whole thing, and this is why we need the Layman Brewsters of the world to step on up, is haven't had American heavyweight in a few years.
Exactly.
Lewis, of course, was Brit, and he's been basically on top for the last 8-9 years or so. It's a couple stumbles here and there, but in general, you know, this is a sport that's dominated by Americans, especially in the heavyweight division. We got a foreign guy who's basically up there now. We had Lewis up there. It's time we get American.
Oh yeah, man! Believe me when I tell you, man. I'm Babe Ruth. I'm pointing to the outfield. I'm about to knock this one home.
Right,
dude.
Really?
And he's from Indiana too.
Believe me,
the heartland.
What's that? Where in Indiana did you grow?
Indianapolis, Indiana, West Side.
West Side.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Drew, you been there?
I've been there. Remember, they did that war memorial there, right? Big old war memorial downtown.
Yeah, man.
You and Drew keeping it real going to the west
side. Keeping it real.
I ran through that.
Esther, sure. He's been chased by
don't
black
stop.
Guys.
Yeah, do not stop. Whatever you do. Don't stop.
Esther?
Hello?
Yeah, what's happening? You're 23.
Yes, I am. Basically, every time a guy likes me or tries to pursue me, even if I'm interested in the beginning, I get totally turned off.
Are you really 23?
Yes, I am.
You're really 23?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You sound a little younger than that, but all right.
She's acting a little younger, too.
Yeah, and that's why I was asking some clarification on that.
Okay. Well, maybe she's just a late starter. This is something that...
Or traumatized. Dad stuff, you know.
How's your dad? Do you like him?
Actually, yeah, I do like my dad. Just that when I was younger, like really young, actually, I caught him cheating on my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what do you mean caught him cheating?
Well, I just kind of walked into a room and he was kind of like kissing another woman. But
he wasn't having sex with her.
No, he wasn't having sex with her. Mm-hmm. And but my parents have been back together for a long time, so I don't know how much that affects my ability to have another early relationship.
All we know is you have trouble with intimacy. You push it away. When there's somebody you like, or somebody likes you, you're not going to risk it.
That's got to be one of the, we sort of skate past it a lot. A lot of kids see a lot of stuff. That's got to be one of the freakier things to see.
Yeah.
You know, daddy's kissing on someone who's not mommy. At almost any age. Well, at a certain point, you'd cheer for it. Like, Drew, if you came home and your old man was on top of the maid, you'd stuff an extra 20 into her blouse, right? I mean, you'd be happy to see that, right? Yes, of course you would. Of course you would. But at age, 11, it'd be really, it'd just be almost confusing and effed up seeing Dan getting it on.
You'd know what I meant.
Well, how old were you, Esther?
Actually, I was younger than that. I was probably like 6 or 7.
Yeah, you still know.
Good and weird. Good and weird. All right. Well, that's part of it.
That can sort of shatter things a little bit. Any shattering experiences can become things that are problematic later in life. You can't really regulate them. You can't integrate them easily into your life and your sense of yourself and relationships. And naturally enough, there it is, an issue for you. Now, if you can't get yourself to get into a relationship with somebody who is available and who likes you and who not too alluring, because you're going to like a guy who's kind of a cheater, naturally enough.
Yeah.
But if you can't do that, then that's time to get some help with it.
Like, what do you suggest I do? Because, I mean, I always, like, now I have a guy who likes me and he calls me, but I just avoid him and I'm turned off by it.
If he is willing to put up with this, which is a whole other issue, just kind of force yourself to stick with it a little bit, see what happens.
I don't know.
The more you avoid him, the more he's going to chase you. Men love to hunt.
I know. That's the problem, too.
How do you feel about yourself when you run away?
Pretty stupid because, I know I've had boyfriends before, but I just wish I could... I would just wish wasn't turned off by it because I know there's nothing wrong with someone liking me and me liking somebody else. But
well, are you into this guy at all, or could you just not be into anybody who was into you?
No, see, I liked him before I knew that he liked me back. You know what I mean?
Too dangerous.
I don't know.
I suggest you go ahead and have some dates with him and see where it goes, and just make yourself do it. Force yourself to contain some of this.
Yeah.
Act as if you weren't screwed up about these things.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Just get a positive mental attitude and go in and realize that's what you need. If you can't, if you cannot, then you need help.
Well,
that's
everybody, feel free to act sane. We've talked about this many times.
Act as if you were sane. That's right.
Yeah.
It's fine. You can do that.
Keyword, act.
Yeah. And by the way, if you act sane long enough, you'll just be sane. Here's what I'm saying. I mean, whatever it is, whether it's being a good parent or being a good employee, just act like it long enough, and eventually it doesn't really matter whether you're that or not. I mean, we could all have homicidal maniac killers lurking inside of us. If they never come out, we never do any time.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Everyone act sane. And, I'd love to coach this guy when he goes out on a date with her. Because really, as soon as he goes around and opens the door and tells her how nice she looks, he's in for it. His only chance is to do that thing where you're on the date, but you're pretending like you don't really want to be there. They act like you have that 1,000-yard stare.
She should give him a little coaching before.
So,
exactly. This is how I need you to act.
No, yeah.
That sounds great. So I just got a question for you, Adam. So if you are coaching a fighter and he comes back to the corner and he's getting beat, Mm-hmm. What would you tell him?
I'd say,
what happened to your dad? Who's your dad? What did you do?
Son, were you ever molested? Son, that guy's got a thumb up you out there. But listen, I'll tell you what a good fighting, what a good trainer I am, a good corner man I am. I trained one guy, Jimmy Kimmel, to fight in a fight that got me on the radio.
Been fighting the fight of life ever since. And look where it's gotten him.
No.
Oh.
I sent him out for the second round with no mouthpiece.
Oh, God. That's a common mistake in boxing.
It's
not, because sometimes you could be so overwhelmed.
Well, I was more bored. and I wanted to punish him. And you know, the thing that was funny is, well, no, here's what happened. He was wearing one of those headgear that had the little face mask built into it, like the kickers would wear, the one bar that went over the mouth.
Yeah.
So it was sort of out of sight, out of mind. This sort of bar was going in front of his mouth, so I forgot to shove the mouthpiece back in there. But you know, the thing that's funny about boxers is it takes a million years just to have your composure in there, just not to go nuts.
Practice makes perfect.
You spaz out.
What happens? Jimmy spazzed out.
Well, you go off like a bottle rocket. No. What it is you get this crazy adrenaline surge.
It's like
this,
a relationship.
It's fight or flight things. Yeah. It's like you got let out of prison and someone's going to let you have sex with them after 10 years. So, you know, everyone's going to take your time, give a lot of good oral sex, use a lot of petting, take it slow. The blouse goes ripped open, you dive.
No foreplay.
Is that only after somebody makes contact with you, or is this you run in the ring that way?
Most people lose their composure in the ring, whether they get hit first or not, and abandon all technique.
So it's not like they run out there that way.
Yeah, we call those people green.
Yeah, they're green.
They're green.
the punches are flying from all different directions.
Right,
the more energy you have, the more nervous you are,
right,
the more the adrenaline's surging, the worse your form gets.
Right.
It's sort of like trying to crush a golf ball off the tee. It's just the harder you try to hit it, the further into the rough it's going to go.
That's why in the military, they have so many practices, man. They drill so much so that when they do get on that battlefield, whenever it is, if it's 10 years or, you know, it's just 20 years,
right,
when they get there, they know exactly what to do. And that's why we go to the gym every single day, man. I came home with bloody noses and busted lips every day, you know, but it was just to prepare me for that day when I stepped into the ring. Oh, he's doing this. Oh, this isn't nothing new. This is how I deal with this.
Pure repetition. Just crazy,
makes habit.
Nutty repetition.
Yeah, man.
But the thing that was funny is I knew Jimmy was going to go off and not do anything I told him to say. So I had this great idea, because I only had like 2 weeks to train him.
Right.
I said, look, Jimmy, you're going to go in that ring. You're going to get hit with a surge. Your punch is just going to start flying. You're going to start flailing and wailing. You're going to be out of energy in the first 30 seconds. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a number. Each number is going to represent a particular combo. When you hear me yell one, just throw jab cross. One, that just means jab cross. Two means jab cross hook. So we train, and I yell, one, and bing, bing, jab cross. Two, jab cross hook. Repetition. So I knew he'd be in the ring. I knew he'd be running around like a chicken with his head cut off. But maybe when I yelled two, something would snap in his head, and he'd throw the jab cross hook.
No.
I'd just stand on the edge of the ring yelling, two! Just throwing crazy windmill punches all the time. I screamed two and one 1,000 times, and I got angry at him.
Yeah, I'm going to have a beef with him, too, man. I have to let you know that.
You're going after Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless he has me on the show.
Oh, I'll see what I can
do. Because he made a comment. You know, Don King went on there.
Oh, yeah.
And they showed my my press conference, and I got emotional. He made a joke. Mm. So I figured that since I won, it's only fair that he would have me on the show. And if not, I'm going to have to chin check him, Don.
Done and done.
I'm going to have to talk to him.
Yeah. Jimmy's like a joke?
Yelling number two. I think when I yelled number two at Jimmy, he crapped himself. He misunderstood. And one, he whizzed in his low foul protector.
That's what he told you.
It didn't work at all. And you know the thing that's funny, too, is then they come back to the corner. It's like, and it's like, listen, man.
Slow down.
Exactly what I said you're going to do. Just go in. Don't throw any punches. Just go in there and move around. Time him for a little bit. Get back to what we practice. Remember? One, two. Just jab cross. Just like we did. Yeah, okay.
So he ain't listening. He's too tired.
He just goes in there. He just went bell
he's
rings.
Fatigued.
He goes back there and starts flailing again.
Man, you don't hear nothing. When you get, like, if you're not in shape for a fight, or, you know, you're feeling stressed out because you can't do nothing with this guy that's in there trying to batter your head, You don't hear nothing in that corner, man. And I hate when I listen to a fight and the trainer is giving like 20 pieces of advice. You're not going to remember any of that at all.
I always like there's a great interpreter for the Latin guys. Good. Because he always puts a little whine in his voice. They go to the corner.
And they slap you.
They have the interpreter and the guy's going, come on, what are you doing? And the guy's like, you're not trying hard enough. Start trying. You know, most of the stuff is just like, yeah, no ass, Sherlock. He's hitting you too much. You hit him. You should hit him more. And try harder. And now, come on. Remember what we practiced. It's like you think all sorts of crazy, you know, beautiful words of pearls of wisdom are being dispatched in the car. Most of it just start trying harder. Start doing what we talked about. Come on.
I was reading something about Phil Jackson last week where by the time it's a fourth of a second left, and what's he going to say?
Right.
Get the ball in. Take a shot. He goes, yeah, you guys know what to do. Here's what I suggest. Here's your options. You guys figure out what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Throw the ball high, see if Shaq can knock it in.
Next time you're working a fighter's corner, I got a little advice for you. If they're out of it and you cannot get them to respond to what you're telling them, take the coldest water you can find, just like shake it all while he's in the fight. So when you come back to the corner, and just pull his pants back and just dump it.
Dump it down the trunks.
Oh, man. He will come, too. He will salute you and everybody.
Wake you up.
Oh, yeah. He'll be woke.
Should have done that 7-Up commercial.
Should have done that to Kimmel. Liam?
Hey.
You're 19?
That's right.
What's up?
Well, thanks both of you guys for having this show. You guys are helping a lot of kids.
Thanks.
Layman, long live the fighters.
Thank you.
Drew, I've got a question about cocaine.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how long it stays in your system.
Kind of depends on what you do. For the most part, people are out in about 12 hours. But it's been reported up to 36 or so.
I mean, as far as, like, getting tested.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing a urine test, up to 36.
It's out of your system faster than weed.
Yeah, it's usually it can be out as soon as 4.
Wow.
Usually pretty much out in 12
hours. It's a more powerful drug than
it depends on how much people can do an awful lot of it. They can take a while to metabolize it.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's usually like about 8 to 12 hours.
I learn some every day.
Yeah. I don't know. We could do an 8-ball, and you could be tested by the commission tomorrow and probably be fine.
I'm actually working on some home saliva and urine drug kits that maybe towards the end of the summer might be coming out. I'm imagining that
under the Mr. Narco label.
But I'm imagining.
Come on, dude. Don't be a narc.
But I'm imagining people are going to use it for this kind of thing. So decide, okay, I finally passed my test. Now let's go in.
Well, what are you using it for? I mean, parents can see if their kids have a problem?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh, Drew.
What?
That's narking. You're the man.
I am the man.
You're narking out the kids. So how does it work? Do we have to lift a sample from these kids?
No, they'd have to volitionally give it. But now
why? Why not? Bobby, how about another otter pop? Give me that back. You suck. Give it back.
Oh, the saliva.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you could do it off a utensil or something. That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I'm still learning about all this stuff. What the options are and stuff.
What the hell?
I'll have more to follow. More to follow.
You know, I'm just going to tell my kid I have drug testing equipment.
Well, frankly, that's going to be a lot of it. Just stick it on the refrigerator. Go ahead.
You may be drug tested when you come home from school this evening.
When I decide, this guy will pull us off the refrigerator.
Just wake him up in the middle of the night, random drug test.
Absolutely. It's all we have. It's the only test we have. It's the only one.
What do you mean?
There's no way to tell whether somebody's doing drugs objectively other than...
Well, you'll know.
I'll know because I'm around so much of that stuff. But
yeah.
I mean, I do so much. No. This is the only way you can objectively document whether somebody's doing drugs. Urine and saliva.
How about having a drug sniffing dog as a pet? You know what I mean? Right? He's a pet.
A
he's a good dog, but you also run him through the kid's room once a week.
That'll be my next product. I'll get on that.
I'm just saying that the drug sniffing dogs need a home too. You know, it's not that they got to stay in the kennel.
I'm going to work on this.
Your drug sniffing dog?
I'm thinking neighborhood drug sniffing dogs.
Ooh.
New neighborhood watch.
Every neighborhood should have one.
Yeah. Right. Just run them through the house.
Just send them out.
Oh, see what house he goes to.
Yeah.
Smart. All right. Drew, I'm serious. If there was just a box that said drug testing kit.
And it's with nothing in it.
Multiple drug testing kit. No, all you got to do is get a cereal get one of those small cereal boxes, the variety pack,
yes, yeah.
And then just put a little white tape over it and use a stencil. Do something with the computer. Print it out. Stick a label on. So drug testing kit.
I want my puss looking out at it.
And picture Drew in a cop outfit with his arms folded. Stand next to it. And then once a week, I just take the cotton swabs. Like, okay, kid, here we go. Yeah. Let's take a little. So it's every Friday we do this. And then I go back. And I just give him a clean. You never do drugs. You couldn't do drugs.
Not on Thursday.
I don't know. You got some rebellious kids out there. But just out of spite.
Every once in a while, tell them we got a false positive. Did you eat a poppy seed bagel or something? What's up, Junior? We're going to bring you in for further evaluation. Yeah, kid, just be scared.
We do that with we have a thermometer.
He'd have an eating disorder and go gay on you, but he wouldn't do drugs.
We have thermometers. What the hell?
And a runaway rate will go up.
We have thermometers. Yeah, we don't sneak it. We have thermometers, but we don't. The kid gets got to get sick first before we put it in his ass, right?
Don't put the swab in the mouth if you don't suspect anything.
All right. All right. Oh, Drew, you're going to give your kids an eating disorder. Don't get too weird on them. Don't get nutty on them. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
I'll say Uncle Adam's coming to test them.
Yeah, don't. Yeah. Just come on. Cut them a little slack. Yeah. They'll get weird on you. Liam?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we already talked to you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, don't do drugs.
I'm trying real hard to get off them, man.
Okay,
get some help. Cocaine is not something people stop on their own.
Well, I've got some good help. I'm doing really good.
All right, you doing 8-ball every 2 weeks?
When I was really using, yeah. Now I'm slipping about once every 2 or 4 months.
And when you go out, you smoke it?
I'm sorry.
Do you smoke it when you go to binge?
No, I was snorting it.
Okay.
Don't give up, man.
Take a little Vicodin tonight. Take some codeine. Smoke a little heroin.
True, please. We're not in a break.
Oh.
True had plans for after the show. I thought we went to break.
Shh, shh, shh.
Well, I've got the best help in the world, but thank you, guys.
Great.
All right,
praying for you.
Take care.
Easy.
All right. Everyone who, and by the way, you think everyone's smoking it, they're snorting it these days, true.
Yeah, because it's so cheap. There's
people
a lot of
that are buying
it. People I see are all smoking. All smoking.
Really?
Wow.
You're talking about relatives and family? You're talking about
and
at work.
The patients.
And the patients.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, the people who buy the, I don't know enough about it, but if you buy the 8-balls, I think you're snorting it.
Yeah,
because
I think you're right.
If you're smoking it, you're just buying it in crack form.
Well,
I don't
you know
think
what, they, what they'll tell me is when they smoke it, they'll tell me how much they spend a day.
Right, it's a daily thing.
Yeah, I spend $150 a day on a binge. Yeah.
Right, and wow. And they're buying crack.
Yeah,
they're not cooking it up and processing it.
Do you stay higher from smoking or
way
snorting?
Worse? Smoking is worse than shooting it.
Smoking is really
because when you shoot it, it distributes throughout your body, goes through your lung, passes through, and then back to your heart, and then back to your brain. When you inhale it, the entire surface area of your lung is exposed to it, back through the heart directly to the brain.
Man, I've seen it destroy so many people that I grew up with. You know, it's not even funny. Mm-hmm. And, I would just advise anybody listening to this, man, take it from the heavyweight champion of the world. This is a drug you do not want to mess with.
Take it from a guy who got beat in one Golden Gloves fight. You do not want to mess with this drug. See, from the top to the bottom, Drew.
Well, go show him your tape.
And everything in between. I am going to show Layman Brewster a little something about
please
boxing.
Show me.
WBO heavyweight champion of
see
the world.
See your footwork.
And when you come back, you'll be like, oh.
We'll see.
Well, we don't know. We don't know yet. We'll be right back.
Hey, Mel.
After this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Newfound Glory in here tomorrow night. Layman Brewster in here tonight. WBO heavyweight champion of the world. Looking for a little Klitschko action. And what now, he beat...
that's Klitschko.
Behind us, yeah. It's big man. Big man.
This is which one?
That's Vladimir. No, that's Vitaly. Vitaly, who was being called Vitaly for a while, and now further
they said it
wasn't
marketable
people.
In the United States, so they're going back to Vitaly.
Oh, I see.
Vitaly.
Yeah, it's about actual size. We got a big cardboard cut out of him. He's a lot of man.
Yeah, he should play basketball, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should, but he's probably making more money in the heavyweight ranks. Now, has there been talk about a rematch with you and Vladimir, Vitaly's younger brother?
Well, maybe after his 6-month suspension.
Uh-oh. Oh, is he really? Is he going to get suspended?
No, he's suspended.
Oh, he is. Now, yeah. there was discussion about something being put on his gloves or causing there's a foul play afoot. Perhaps.
In your fight.
Yes.
Yeah, man. He made a claim that someone poisoned him. But only thing I can tell you is watch the tape.
Pow.
That's the only poison I know, the left hook to the chin.
That mean, if he's really genuinely making those kinds of claims, that means a nutty guy.
Man, well, let me tell you, the state of Nevada, which is the greatest boxing commission in the world, they would have been the first to pick up on this, you know? Yeah. The blood test, we have to pee in a cup before and after the fight.
Really?
And they also drew his blood at the hospital he was driven to after the fight, so...
Well, the thing is the guy is a huge man. He's,
loser.
He's 6'7", 245, 250 pounds. And the big guys, they cannot... They become like NFL linemen, and that you can't go both ways and run up and down the field all day long. The body that size. Now the 130 pound guys, they can punch like these guys are like little ferrets running on a wheel. You know what I mean? I mean these little hamsters running on a train. They can just punch and punch and punch. Never stops. The big guys cannot do that. Vladimir tried to do that to Layman's head for about five rounds. And wore himself to point of exhaustion. Yeah, Layman caught him with a couple of big hooks and finally chopped that tree down.
Yeah, man. You know, it's really impossible for a guy that height. You know, you take his heart. You know, that means his heart has to work overtime to push blood to his feet and to his head the same time. You know, and at the rate he was throwing punches, man, you know, knew he wouldn't last. That's why I say we take him to the deep water and drown him.
Right.
We get him drunk and then we mug him.
But here's how you take him to the deep water. You get socked in the head by a guy of 6'8", 245 pounds.
Well, let me tell you something. A guy, usually, if you look at fights, right, if you look at a small guy, his shoulders are snapping when he's throwing punches. Mm-hmm. If you look at most big guys, they don't know how to properly throw punches, so they throw them from the arm. It's not from the hip, you know.
Right.
It don't start in the foot. Like Mike Tyson was a great devastating puncher because he knew how to punch.
Right.
Whereas these big guys, they throw arm punches. Like Vladimir, he was throwing a lot of arm punches. You didn't see his hips, you know, snapping, his waist turning. You just saw his arms, you know. Yeah, so, you know, naturally, he punched himself out.
It's true. And bigger guys don't have to use their... It's used to remind me of you ever see Daryl Strawberry hit a home run?
Yeah.
Just take that beanpole body of his and snap those hips, and that bat speed would just whip. And here's a guy whose arms are skinny, who's, you know, a skinny guy. Pow!
Exactly.
450-foot shot. Tommy Hearns used to be that way.
Yeah. Just
guy's literally...
You know how to turn the thumb down, man. It makes a big difference.
Literally 6'2", 155 pounds. I mean, you think about guys who you know... I mean, you don't think about these guys' weight. Think about a guy who's 6'2". You see, you know, guy 6'2", is 170 pounds. You're talking about a skinny, pretty slender guy. Talking about like 154 and 6'2".
Wow.
All right, now that guy throwing some power.
Wow.
That's all hip.
The end of that... To
snap.
Get caught at the end of that punch, man, is probably equivalent to getting hit by Barry Bonds.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
Blair.
Maybe. Blair. True, really. First he thought it was only heavyweights were in the United States. And come on, Drew. Focus now. Let's get a hand in. Let's break it down, Drew. Let's go now. Let's go, Layman. Let's focus on the show now. We got to help Blair now. Hey,
come on,
gentlemen,
Blair.
That helmet, it's not a chair. Let's go now. Break it down. Grab a knee.
For so long and...
Yeah.
You know, been wanting to call in. Anyways, I was just wondering if I would be able to regain sensitivity. I mean, I have some sensation, but, like, maybe be able to have an orgasm through oral sex. And if I quit masturbating with, a vibrator on my clitoris, like electric massager, you know?
The sensitivity tends to return.
Because I've been like kind of making myself not do it, you know, for a long time because
It says up here since you were 8, you were putting one of those on.
Yeah. Wow.
How'd you come to that?
I just was just like playing around with one of the massagers, and I was like, oh, this feels good down here. So.
And by the way, you cannot leave these things
around.
How old are you now?
I'm 21.
21.
Let me explain. If I get one of these massagers when I have kids, I'm going to have a time meter on there that's going to turn. You know what I mean? I'm going to I'm going to chart every hour that's been on down to the second. You know what I mean? So I find an extra 42 minutes on here between the time Daddy put it down and the time Daddy picked it up.
Yeah,
you know,
they get pretty hot too, man. You can.
Yeah.
Oh, parents, this is a warning. Take your batteries out of your toys.
Well, this one's probably
The phone cut out for just a little bit right there.
This is like, this was your... All right. Oh, our phone line sucks.
Yeah, Blair,
all right.
You got to cut this out. But the thing is, you don't want to cut it out because it's not as good as what it can do for you. So you just keep going back. And so, I don't know quite what you're looking for. It's okay.
Well, all right.
You don't...
Well, let's talk about this theory, which is things ultimately, it's like quitting a drug. Things are ultimately better when you stop. The problem is they're not better while you're stopping. They're better after you stop. And no one wants to go through that part.
Yeah, that
you know what
period.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, but in the bigger picture, it's that way with a life. It's like a life is better with a college degree. It's just people don't want to spend that time not getting paid and doing – you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they don't want to go through that part.
This is, I agree with you in terms of the basic theoretical framework, but this is something that she can do long term without harming herself.
If she's happy, should she stop?
That's what I'm saying. Mm. Why does she want to stop? Mm.
Well, maybe she wants to enjoy intercourse.
I can have orgasms through intercourse just with this last guy that I was with. And I was in a 2-year relationship and we recently broke up in January and everything, but we still have sex, which I slept with like 5 guys since we broke up. But I wasn't able to have an orgasm with any of them, so I think it's just him.
Your heart isn't in it.
Intercourse, but it's not as good as when I use the vibrator. The orgasm isn't as good.
So use it.
I don't think any man could vibrate like that.
No, not unless he's having a seizure.
Huh?
Okay, you're fine. Look, I use the vibrator if
it's better.
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah. Don't have to stop. I guess your thing is she wants to stop long enough that she gets sensitivity to be able to have an orgasm with oral sex. Okay, you can do that.
Right.
You may have to wait a few months.
Lower your
standard. I don't know if you'll make it.
All right.
And what you're aiming for ain't quite what you're getting now, too. You know what I mean? It's not...
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Find a guy and fall in love. Yeah?
Yeah.
And like I said, parents, keep those vibrators. I'm going to vet it. You got the drug test. I'm going to do a vibrator test, too.
Yeah.
Vise McGrath or something.
Now, how would this work?
Well, it's going to be a probe because there's no way to work around it. There'll be a universal probe, work for the ladies and for the gents.
Oh, wow. What would it look like?
Well,
it's going to be a vibrator.
Vibrator.
Right. It's going to rate. Because I will argue that up to 48 hours after the vibrator's removed, there's still microscopic movement going on in the vagina. You see, there's still movement that's been going on. This will measure that movement. And I'm going to work some of the guys over Caltech about it, a lot of guys. And we'll use a Richter scale type approach to it. Like, you know, if you got like a 7.5, that's off the charts, you know. Well, if you're only registering like a 2 and change, you know, that'd just be a tremor.
So how do you get this approved? Do you, like, do
FDA.
Some kind of experiments?
FDA, we do testing.
Like in Harvard,
we do
you know?
Testing on college kids. No, we do testing
Lamont's saying
on hobos.
He wants to be part of the whole testing.
Part of the clinical study?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be
well, I'll tell you what. Oh, I can't say it in front of him, but there will be one part of the study. We'll just have the probe with a piece of yarn tied on it to a thing with a graph. It's really just
Whoa.
Checks.
And right.
It's just,
it'll be the control.
Just an ohm meter for checking battery voltage on cars.
It'll be
the control group. Yeah, because we'll need the control group. All right. True. So I don't know, maybe we'll package that with the drug test. Because it's really the same group. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing an 8-ball, and then it's right to Daddy's vibrator.
And then we'll have a little porn on the computer sort of monitor of some type.
Yeah.
Whoa,
man.
We'll have it all locked up.
Yeah, it'll be great. Jennifer?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Okay. I'm going out with my boyfriend for, like, 6 months now. And, like, I don't know. I don't do it purposely, but I cheated on him, like... I don't know, not that many times. It's like 6 times.
Oh, not that. Oh, how,
6 times.
Oh, wow. Who could complain about that?
6.
Let's evaluate.
What do you consider a lot?
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Did you have sex with guys 6 different times?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh,
time.
Really? And are these 6 different guys, or is this an old boyfriend?
Different guys.
Were you using protection?
Like with three of them.
You nasty.
Wow.
Don't say that.
You are.
Well, please.
No, I'm not. I feel like a whore already.
No, you don't have to feel that way. You just protect yourself.
Well, let's evaluate what you said. You didn't mean to, or you couldn't help yourself. What do you mean by that?
It's like you get caught up in the moment. I don't know. Like, I don't do it like...
Do you like to live? Do you like life?
I don't know.
Who's that yelling in the background?
My grandma.
Oh, really? Oh, by the way, it's bad sign when you're living with grandma.
Yeah, my mom just kicked me out.
Wow. Why are you living with grandma?
Chris knew his grandma, too, somehow.
His mom kicked me out.
Well, he's living with his grandma. Well, your mom kicked you out because you're out of control.
Yeah, not supposedly.
She was quite right. You're 16. You claim to love your boyfriend. You want to have a relationship.
Do.
And yet you can't contain your impulses to the point where you cheated on him. I don't do it on purpose.
Like, I think...
Wait, stop there. Stop.
Hold on. Let's take a break. Who did it then?
Who does it?
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Right. We'll sort her out after the break.
Right.
Jennifer. We're going to take a quick break.
No cheating between now and our coming back.
Yeah. Maybe a little oral, but no intercourse in between the next 4 or 5 minutes, all right?
Okay.
All right, so hang on. Layman Brewster's here tonight, WBO heavyweight champ of the world. We'll take a quick break, and then we're going to break Jennifer down and build her back up. Yeah? Get a hand in, break it down. Yeah! After this commercial. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Layman Brewster here tonight. WBO heavyweight champion of the world.
The world.
Showing him a little of my stuff during the break.
What do you think?
You got skills, man. I can't wait to apply. Yeah, well, you made me say yes. No, what I would like is for you to get into the ring with me and let me work on my eye and hand coordination on defending myself from your punches.
Sure.
Your mighty blows.
You never know when a spindly, Brillo-headed, nasally guy from the valley is going to come gunning for you, Drew. And when that happens, you got to be ready. And the only way to be ready is to stay ready. You cannot get ready. You got to be ready and stay ready.
Got it.
Well, if you can hold your own with the heavyweight champion of the world, man, you can walk around with your chest.
This would be cool.
I'd love to get in and move around with Layman.
It'd be my pleasure.
There's a lot of paperwork we'd have to, sign off before I got into the ring. But then, Drew, wouldn't it be funny if he just turned me into a drooling vegetable?
And
it'd
be like, wow.
I'd be like, okay. It's not like
that would be so funny, Adam.
Drew would have to carry the show, and then we'd be over.
What James Toney did? Well, I won't say he did that, but he broke Mickey Rourke's cheekbone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
James lights out Toney, Drew.
Mickey got off a good shot on him, and then James, out of just reaction, just came right back with a shot. Boom.
That's the whole thing. it's like playing with your friend's pit bulls. Great dog. Everything's friend. It's all great. And then the dog spazzes on you.
Speaking of put pit bulls.
That's right. I got a little, Drew, why don't you, there's an organization that Layman and his manager are involved with neuter your dog.
It's called Yo Dog Neuter Your Dog or just
Yo
Dog?
Yo Dog.
And they will come to your neighborhood and take care of business for you.
Yeah, man, because, you know, there's so many dogs out there that are, you know, unattended to by adults, and they're having these puppies, man, and it's just,
right.
You know, the humane societies, you know, they're just overwhelmed, you know, and it's like these beautiful little puppies are being put to sleep, you know, and we can stop that.
Now, where's that work? Layman comes to your house, gives the dog one good uppercut to the nutsack.
Pretty much.
And then that's it. It actually works in the nutsack, like a speed bag.
So it's 1-888-DOGSPAY.
Or go to
DOGSPAY.
And they'll come and do it.
Or go to LaymanBrewster.com, and, you know, we have links for more information.
And is this nationwide?
Right now, it's not nationwide, but we're expanding every day, and it just comes with people really stepping up and showing, you know, their responsibility as Americans. You know, this is something that is not just in the great state of California. This is throughout the whole country. So
yeah, nothing sadder than having you know, especially going to crappy neighborhoods, a bunch of dogs running around, and then you got to gather them up, and just put them down.
Yeah.
Something we could do with them, by the way. Can we just put them on a big treadmill and power the city,
man,
or do something?
Can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah.
I'm running one time about 4 o'clock in the morning.
You're up early,
oh,
jogging,
yeah,
doing,
oh,
road,
yeah,
work. Road,
I'm
work.
I'm up early, man, and I'm running, and I hear these footsteps behind me,
mm-hmm,
and I look back. I didn't see nothing. And I look on the other side of my shoulder, and, man, there must have been about probably between 12 and 15, just wild dogs. Wow. And I'm all by myself.
Were they chasing you?
No coyotes.
Dogs,
they were, right? They were just all the dogs from the hood decided, yeah, that they were going to have a festival that morning.
What do you think, he's on the Indian reservation? He's running through the inner city. What,
man,
do we think we're talking about
is
here?
In Indiana?
This was in Indiana. Yes, it was. And, I broke a world record that day. I wish that I could have been in Olympics at that time. That would have been a gold medal winner.
Oh, but, nothing worse than getting
chased. I ran
chased
for my
by
life.
Dogs.
They were coming after you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all by myself. And then, you know, if a dog sees you running,
they come fast. They come at you.
You know, you never turn your back on a dog, you know, especially if it's a dog you don't know.
Yeah.
And, man, I mean, I'm already sweating. And just when I saw the dog, the fear hit me. So I'm sure, you know, dogs can smell fear. And then the whole pack fall on this one dog, man. And how I ran those dogs, I don't know.
Well, heart of a champion. That's what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, man, that was the making of a champion.
Coyotes. Please, Terrell. Jennifer?
Yeah.
You're 16?
So we were talking to Jennifer before.
Oh, yeah.
She's the one that can't stop cheating.
Nasty girl.
Yeah. Okay. 16. Slept with 6 guys during the course of having one boyfriend. Fooled around with 6 guys. Had sex with them.
But examine the behavior. It's you feel like a whore. You seem magically not be able to. Things just happen magically to you. Like they're happening to somebody else. You don't want to do this allegedly.
No. Well, I think it's because don't laugh at me. It's not like that. I want them to be my friend or whatever. But like, I think it's just not what they want, but I don't know. It's just,
well, it's the only way you can feel any sense of validation and sort of feel good about somebody cares about you and wants
yeah.
you. But they don't.
What do you want?
My boyfriend?
No, you don't. You don't want
well,
him.
That's, well, he, she, part of her does. She's sort of split. There's a good part of her
yeah.
and a bad part of her.
Well, and bad parts are from the waist down.
Yeah, but she's got to get both parts involved in this relationship and realize that bad part can be accepted in an intimate relationship.
Does this guy, first off, if he knows about half the guys.
But it's sort of a little envy and F you. It's like, you know, it just you dare to love me. Well, I'll show you.
Well, what did, you know, you're living with your grandmother because you were out of control, and your mom booted you out,
yeah.
and your dad's not been around for a while?
I don't have a dad. Well,
right.
I never met him.
Right. Okay. How about a little therapy?
What happened to the stepdads? What'd they do to you?
Well, he doesn't like me. He tried to kill me when I was 6, so we never really
go.
Got along.
What about, like, big sister programs? Don't they have?
Yeah, how about mentoring and that sort of stuff? I used to be a Catholic big brother until I, you know, became
Girl
a big
Scouts
board.
Or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm tired of therapists. I've had them since I was, like,
well, listen. Okay. Let me
start a cutting.
Okay, Jennifer. Here's what you need to do. And I know this sounds like a lot, but you need to stop. It's not. They're not things you need to do. They're things you don't need to do.
You think other countries have Jennifers?
I don't know.
I don't think they do.
I'm pretty sure Mexico does.
No.
Oh wow.
I gotta believe Mexico's got a handful.
Jennifer.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe Mexico shipped them to California.
Mm.
That's what happened. Yeah, Canada doesn't have any Jennifers. All right, look, I don't know. Look, you're arguing with us. You need therapy. I'm sorry for what you've been through. I'm sorry about your stepdad and all the other things. We hear the story all the time. The biological dad's gone. He's not on the scene. The kids start acting out. They take it out on poor mom.
Well,
the parent tried to stick around.
The stepdad tried to strangle her when she was 6.
Like, you're in control of your own destiny. What you did in the past don't matter. Being the now, the only thing that matters is right now, what you do from this point on.
Yeah, I hate to say it and sound corny, but, you know, if you're not going to go to therapy, then you better start listening to some classical music and go for long walks and just start getting into something. You got
to
get a hobby other than giving it up to guys. Start to find something you're in love with and become obsessed with it.
Yep.
Go in the gym. Start boxing. I mean, this is what happens.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great for you.
Layman would be calling the show right now if he wasn't on the show.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying, Drew?
No.
Okay. Man, well, here the guy thought he was being changed by dingoes just a few moments ago. Drew, who are we talking to?
We're
saying bye to anybody?
No.
That's right. It? All right. Well, we're not done. We've got to take a break.
Come on, yeah.
Yeah. So, how do you know I have anything to talk to Layman about, by the way? And who, what do you think of, trying to think. Who do you want? Just tell us who you're next. Who would you like, besides if you can't get Klitschko?
If I can't get Klitschko.
Who would you like?
You know, to tell you the truth, I'm a true fighter, so it ain't nobody out there. I want everybody. I want any man who's willing to get in the ring with me.
Not all at once.
Hey, if the money's right, I will fight you, too.
He wants Corolla.
Corolla don't want Brewster. That's the problem. All right, let's take a little break. I'll share some more mad skills during the break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Well, that's the show. I want to thank Layman Brewster for coming in here. God bless you, Layman.
Man, thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure. I learned so much today.
WBO, heavyweight champ of the world. Much success to you, and here's all we ask is that when you do become the undisputed champ, you don't forget us. You come back.
No, you're going to be my sparring partner.
That's right. I told Layman we're going to move around a little bit. He just can't hit me.
That's
all.
It's
going to be good. Then, Doc, I'm going to have to stay in touch with you because, man, I've sat here and just examined you, and I've learned a lot,
That's good.
I feel like I need to sign up for some therapy from you or something.
Just come back.
From the doc, a little moving around with the Ace Man.
Yeah, man.
You're covered.
Oh, man, it's good.
Layman Brewster, and everyone go to laymanbrewster.com, by the way.
LamonBrewster.
Find out what's going on, when the next fight is, and about this New to Your Dog program. So, tomorrow night, Newfound Glory. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Are you using protection?
Like three of them.
You nasty.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.